Hello, I'm Stephanie Belcher.
And I'm Del Belcher, and welcome to...
Learn to like each other. Where Stephanie folds laundry in the back, because we got stuff to do.
You're going to try. You've never done this before.
I haven't.
As an artist, a podcasting artist, yes. I generally... like to give my first fruits of my podcasting labor to you and to my audience. However, as a husband, father, person, we do have laundry.
I know, we have a lot of laundry. So I'm seeing if I can fold Carly's laundry while podcasting.
If anyone could do it, you could do it.
I think that that's true. Well, I think the only thing I don't want is I do keep bending over to grab a pair of purple pants.
It's kind of fun to watch.
It's really cute.
There's all these little baby pants.
I know. Look at how little they are.
Well, while you're doing that, I have a tale to tell. Because...
tell your tale. I will listen to you tell the tale.
CW content warning. We're going to talk about mouth torture, body
CW?
Horror.
CW?
Content warning.
Oh, that's a thing? Oh, it makes sense, yeah. I guess.
Content warning. It's on the social media.
I thought you were
media.
Talking about CW, the
network.
The channel with the really not great programming.
The Arrow. Supernatural.
Okay, the Arrow's not bad.
Body horror. Mouth torture. I had to get a tooth removed.
Oh, yeah.
Last week, I'm glad we recorded earlier because I had a mouth problem. So here's the thing. I got a little baby, little tiny mouth, and when I was in high school, I had 5 teeth removed.
Do you have like a smaller size mouth?
No. I had all 4
molars.
Are
you just saying something?
No, I had all 4... wisdom teeth pulled out, and then I had a compacted sideways tooth. And then
ouch.
A few years ago, I had another molar explode. The inside, it was super gross. The inside root liquefied. So imagine your tooth with a little being pushed and pulverized from the inside. It was very, very rough.
This is really graphic.
Then, because of my molars being taken out, or my wisdom teeth, one of my top molars over here, it was starting to float off to the side, and it was just not going to get better. She was like, I can either pull it, or you can get an implant, and we can reset it. And I thought that sounded like a whole ordeal, and I was just not in that headspace. So
I would have been cool with whatever you wanted.
I went
in,
they got the cleaning, and then they yanked it, and they kept me awake. It wasn't bad. They did a really good job. I commended them for their dentistry.
You know, I bought new workout socks, and I really dedicated to the 10-pack, and I'm just hoping I don't hate them. Because otherwise,
are you
I'm
folding them
have...
right now?
I am.
It's pretty quality.
I
what are they, Pumas?
Okay.
No, Pumas?
I think they're Reebok. They were at TJ Maxx.
The box? The Reba? The Reebok McIntyres?
I wanted to get... a pack that was all the same Listen. Color because I hate having to match workout socks because what's the point?
Reebok McIntyre is a funny joke.
It's okay.
Anyway, back to me. So I've been on a lot of Motrin. I've been eating soft liquid foods and I'm doing better. If anyone was wondering, I'm doing better. You're welcome. Thank you.
You sound like you're 65. I'm eating liquid. Well, not 65, like 89 or something.
Yeah, there is an age where you eat liquid foods. You're a baby, you're in a grown-up old, and then you're a middle-aged person who had to get teeth removed. I will say...
teeth? If it's just one.
Tooth removed. The dental hygienist that I had prior to the teeth pulling, she cleaned my teeth. She did a very good job.
Which one did you have? Did you have the lady that I told you about who was amazing?
Yes. She went very slowly.
I know.
I told her afterwards, I said... I don't know how often you hear this, but you are very good at this. And she said, why, thank you. And then she said, well, your teeth are so clean, it makes it so easy.
Well, thank
and
you.
I said, oh, well, I bet you tell that to all the boys. But she just like flossed so well and just did that teeth scraping.
I really felt taken care of.
I did.
I had her the week before you and I came home
you told me
and
about
told
her.
You how great
you
she was.
Get her. She was so good.
Take requests, take room on the end.
Let me know if anybody in the Jackson area needs a nice tooth cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
Hit me up because I will get you in. I'll get you in.
There
so,
we go.
But I'm feeling healthy. My mouth is healthy. I know teeth health is good for heart health. And me being around with my heart is good for our relationship because we're married. And if I have a heart disease, it's bad. Right?
I've never let you, like, this is going to sound bad. I never let you keep talking sometimes because I'm like, oh, I know where... Actually, I don't know where this is going, but it's this, like, thought trail that ends in. But I was like, you know what? Let's just see where this one goes.
Oh, I can keep talking. It's not a problem. but that's been my week of I drank a lot of energy drinks. That was after. A few days, you have to do no carbonated drinks. If I just do carbonated drinks, it's going to give you a dry socket. No dry sockets. Not a lot of pain. I'm feeling pretty good. My tooth, though, was massive. The tooth they pulled out was just a gnarly buddy. Whew. Those chompers back there, man. That is a lot. Anyway, feeling good. Things are good. Okay. Stephanie, how are you doing?
Well, better than your tooth. So this is Learn to Like Each Other. Mm-hmm. It's a podcast, as you can tell, because you're listening to it. And
that was like a very condescending intro.
No, I mean, I felt like I didn't mean it to be.
No, I'm just kidding.
So here we give content about relationships and mm-hmm. stuff in hopes that it can help people learn to like each other.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's what we do here.
We do that here. Stephanie, yep. Can you not focus because you're folding so well?
Maybe.
Can you? Here's what we'll do.
I know, but they're little baby socks.
Here's what we'll do. We'll pause.
I'm good.
I'm done talking about my teeth. I just didn't know if there's anything that you wanted to fill the world in on.
Well, so in addition to teeth and some other things, the Belcher family, we had a rougher weekend. My grandmother got moved to a hospice home mm-hmm. a few days ago. So we drove back to Wisconsin. And fortunately, we were able to see my grandmother one last time before she passed away Saturday. So it's kind of sad. Anytime you lose someone close to you, yeah. It's really hard. And I think grandparents, aunts, uncles, like closer relatives, mm-hmm. it hits a little bit harder. But I thought a lot about what my grandmother would want. Mm. And she would want a few things. One thing that she would want is that no one missed any work because of this. My grandma was always a very hard worker. I don't think I ever told you this, but growing up, her house was always spotless.
Really?
Yes. She was one of 14 children.
Whoa.
And so she would clean the house diligently, and it was pretty much spotless most of my entire life.
Wow.
And when she mopped the floor, she would do it on her hands and knees and use an old sock to do it.
Aww.
So if you had those one flyaway socks.
You did say that this was the first time going in your grandparents' house with your shoes on.
Yes. My dad and uncle left their shoes on, and I was like, what is happening? This is insane. So she would have wanted me to keep things tidy, not miss any work. But then the other thing about my grandma is she was one of the first volunteer female firefighters in the United States.
That's pretty cool.
It was pretty
cool. That's very cool.
So she became a volunteer female firefighter at a time when no other women had really done it. And when I was a little girl, I asked her why she did it, because that would have been around the time when there were a lot of different movements happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her if it was so she could be a part of that. And she just shrugged and said, no, people's houses were burning down and they needed more volunteers.
Ugh, Karen.
So it was just the right thing to do.
What a lady. And I love the picture of her and the other woman on the back of, and they're just like holding their hats on, riding through the streets. It's just, it's like, it's adorable and it's amazing and it's so cool. And they even have a historical monument.
Yeah.
Your grandma has a historical monument.
So my grandmother has a historical marker in Lowell, Wisconsin. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then another picture is just her and another woman that she was with on the back of a fire truck. Pretty just cool.
Riding around town, putting out fires, cleaning up people's houses, telling schmoes to go to work.
So she was a hardworking lady, tried to do the right thing. She'll be missed.
She would have liked our podcast.
She also listened to NPR and the radio every single day.
We could have fit right in there.
I think so.
I think we could have. Well, Stephanie, I know you've been taking the loss very well, and I think that you've been very supportive for your family, and I know Carly and I love you, and all the likey-loos. Is that what our fans are called?
I don't know.
They like you. James, he likes you. You're doing great. Our producer, James.
I know. It's our side producer, James.
But yeah, I'm really proud of you. And I didn't know your grandma super well. I did. She did let me try on her wig one time.
I know.
I think she just put it on me. And she just said, try this. Put this on. And you don't tell Karen no.
You do not tell Karen no.
And she thought it was so funny.
It was funny.
No, it was funny. That's the last time I've worn a wig.
Yeah.
Not a lot of reasons for me to wear a wig these days.
Nope. Not too much. Hey, guess what?
Hey, what?
I'm done folding laundry now.
Oh, okay. You did good. Look at these little stacks.
I know.
Little jammies, little socks.
So cute.
It's adorable. Is this mine?
Oh. I forgot to bring you. So Dell always asks me to like bring him up a drink or something, and I forget 98% of the time.
Yeah, I shouldn't have even asked.
I know. And I even thought to remember when I did three other things. I was like, now don't forget the LaCroix. And then I forgot.
You know, LaCroix is the Gatorade is like the drink of sportsmen and Michael Jordan. And I think LaCroix is the drink of podcasters. It's the same.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
But we have a very interesting article for y'all this week.
Yeah, you were working on it, and sometimes I can sneak out of you what we're going to be talking about, but not today.
Let's get to the content. Let's get to the research. Let's get to what's going to be interesting or helpful.
I need you to convince me to like you, and that's why we're here.
I know.
So let's do it.
Well, I do think there's kind of a thought in society that you just be you and people like you or they don't. And I don't totally disagree with that.
Stephanie, I was born this way. Deal with it.
But have you ever met some people? I'm like, maybe you don't have friends because you're awful. A lot.
People just don't understand my witty sarcasm.
Right.
I speak in sarcasm only.
Right. Although I did have a coworker who said her second love language was sarcasm and her third love language was swearing. And I didn't hate that.
It's pretty good.
Anyway.
And you said, nuh-uh.
I asked her what her first was, and then I said, straight up murder, and she did not laugh.
Is your first love language murder?
I was like, hers was funny. I guess mine was too much.
Steph, I'm with you,
though. I went to 10 right away.
I'm with you. My life philosophy, some people are born this way. I just crank it up to 11 immediately. Why beat around the bush with that? Well, don't stop at 7 or 8. Just get to 10.
I know.
Man.
Let's just go full in.
Let's go.
So this article, I don't know how to transition to after that story, but it's from a good old news source called, the Irish Times.
Is this from Ireland?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Not some like regional heritage art journal.
The Irish Times of Irish Illinois. No. I know what you mean.
Irishburg, Ohio.
Because there are some cities named after. Yeah. Like the city next to where I grew up is called Rome, Wisconsin.
Oh, Rome.
No relation.
Okay.
Not even close.
To the Italian.
Yeah.
Do you ever think like, oh, Rome is Italian?
Yes, I do think that.
I just don't think, like, you think about Roman history and you're just like, oh, Italy. I just don't put the two together.
Well, people do say the Romans, and I think that leads you to think.
The Italians.
Yeah, you're right. They're not.
The Italian Empire. No, there was the Romans, which I guess became Italy later.
I don't know enough about it to.
Geopolitics is not our strong suit.
No, not so much.
Not so much.
Relationships.
This is pretty good.
So this article is talking about religion and mental health.
Oh, this is interesting.
I think so.
This could be something.
I know. So I'm covering this just from this article and then a few more searches I did just to understand some of the things mentioned here. But if you're really interested in this, I was like, how deep do I want to go? But then I thought, this is a dissertation, several books worth. So once I start, I didn't know how to pull back.
Well, I just did a Google search, and it turns out the Irish Times is the world's number one source on religion and mental health.
Absolutely. That's what the Druid said. I don't know if that's even valid.
That's why they have no snakes.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. So this came out 18 hours ago.
Really? Yeah. Oh, this is hot and fresh out the kitchen.
Yes, it is. So the article kind of mentions that there's this really interesting data set. So people have looked into religion and mental health previously. And a big data set that people have used is called the Nurses' Health Study.
Nurses.
So this was an interesting little bit of data to me because it started in 1976.
Really? Is it Gregory Nurse did it?
Gregory T. Nurse.
Gregory T. Nurse.
Well, all nurses are women, so it's probably Ginger something. Sorry, sick burn. Okay, so...
on myself.
So, good job, self. So... the data includes 280,000 participants.
That's good. That's good.
And so this is kind of a framework. So this data source has been used a lot. And the data set as a whole looks at the long-term effects of nutrition, hormones, environment, and nurse work life on health and disease development.
Okay.
So as a little tease, a little amuse-bouche to the larger article that we're going to talk about in a second.
To the big bouche.
Yes. Mm. So research from Harvard, and Harvard kind of owns this data set of data, whatever, has found that...
no one listening knows, only data nerds know.
Has found that frequently attending religious services was found to have lower instances of cardiovascular disease and cancer.
Really?
Yeah.
Miracles. It's because you get all those Jesus-shaped Cheetos that heal your body.
Probably. I think if you're Catholic, maybe they put something in the wafer. Like, lace it with some vitamin D. It's not a bad idea.
No one in church got scurvy.
Maybe that's how we could give people vaccines. Like, shh, don't tell
don't
them.
Don't tell anybody. But this bread, communion bread, has... measles, mumps, rubella.
Shh. Yes, it does. That would have no problems with it.
Stephanie, I think you've just created like a new... this is like Shark Tank. This is my church vaccination bread. Get your congregation vaccinated with the blood of Christ.
Oh, man.
Vaccinated against sin and death. And there
so
it
let's
is.
Do that.
Ba-boom.
So they also found that... if you attended religious services more frequently, you also had lower rates of depression and lower rates of smoking.
The smoking seems, yeah, because it's like the social of like, yeah. The smoking is like the sin thing.
The sin thing.
Interesting, though.
And you were also more likely to be married if you went to church more.
I see that.
Yeah, I know.
I can see that. Okay.
I don't know what causes what, but it's still interesting.
It's very interesting. And this is the 70s or is this currently?
So this is a data set that started in 1976, and it has been going on since 1976.
So almost more than 40 years.
Yes.
43 years.
Yeah, every year they just kind of do a new study off of it, and then they kind of add to it.
That's incredible.
I know. So that's a little study that showed, hey, maybe there is something associated between... how religious you are, how often you go to church, and your mental health. And that was kind of the study that they're basing this study off of that I'm going to talk about next. So now there's a new study. This came out in the riveting journal, Research on Aging.
Oh.
Page Turner.
The Irish Research on Aging.
Well, I don't know where the journal is from, but this research is Irish.
Oh.
So this is from TILDA, is the acronym, and it's the Irish Longitudinal Study on Aging.
Huh.
Yeah.
Very fun.
Yeah. I used the in an acronym anyway, so.
Yeah, I feel like that's clever. I've never seen that before.
I don't know if I have either. It's making me think about it.
The? I'm like, what? Yeah, I've heard of, like, growing up going to, like, Blockbuster, and I'd be like, I want to watch the whatever.
Yeah.
think of a movie.
The Craft.
The Craft. But it'd always be Craft, comma, the. And I would just, and I asked my mom, and she said, well, there would be too many movies in the T section.
She's right.
Yeah. And so they just, you know, cut to the chase. So yeah, that's kind of my association with acronyms.
That's mine, too. Maybe it's a thing.
Tilda is better than Ilda?
Is it?
Maybe.
Ilda?
Tilda's a thing, isn't it?
Maybe someone took Ilda and it's something not great.
Oh, okay. What would it be?
Ilda. Irish Longitudinal Study on Aging.
Got it.
We need to look up Ilda later. Okay. Note to self. James, Ilda.
Look it up.
Producer James. So this data set includes 6,000 people, but they're all age 50 and over.
Okay.
And so what they did to get this data is it's a series of surveys between 2010 and 2016.
Hmm.
And they did surveys at 2-year increments. So at 2010, you know,
so pretty
2012, regular. 24. Yeah. Kind of cool. And so in that data, they asked men and women, the people in the data set, how important religion was to them.
Mm-hmm.
And 86% of women said religion was important to them and 76% of men.
Okay.
So.
That seems about right.
It's a lot.
I go to church. I see the breakdown. It's more women than men.
It's true.
So I get that.
We always talk about how on Mother's Day it's packed.
On Father's Day, it's empty.
I know. Like, you can hear crickets on Father's Day, but on Mother's Day, like, the cars
mm-hmm.
are just.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So then they also looked at how frequently people attended religious services.
Oh.
So in the data, how important is religion? How often do you go to church? And then they also asked people measures of depression and mental health.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they have all that together. And here are some of the findings.
Oh.
They found that those that attended church more frequently had lower incidences of depression.
That's interesting.
Yes.
That's very interesting.
And they found that if you said religion was important to you, but did not attend church, there was a higher incidence of depression.
Huh. Wow.
Are you thinking about it?
I'm just like, I'm wondering why.
So they also found that those that attended church more frequently had a much larger social network.
Oh, that makes sense to me as well.
And so they found that for men and for women, the size of an individual's social network accounts for at least part of the relationship between how often you go to church and having lower depression symptoms.
Hmm. I do feel that, like, that one aspect, you know, outside of the religious aspect of going to church and being connected with a group of like-minded people, getting involved, it does really get you out in front of new people, different people that you normally wouldn't meet in those social circles.
Yeah.
Like the people that I at church will play music with or volunteer with, not for any other reason other than where I work and my time, I wouldn't necessarily be around these people.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. Having something like that, I think, is really important. And then usually with religion, it's kind of like a positive, like, let's get better together. Let's do good things. Let's make the world better. So that encouragement is something usually, I don't know, I feel like that's cool.
I agree with you. And this is also resonating, but on a different level. Not the Harvard study mentioned here, but the other one that's, was it Harvard graduates?
Probably.
But the one that looked at men and one that had men had better health outcomes when they had friends over a longer period of time.
Mm-hmm,
this is a little bit different because it adds in the element of religion, but it's also talking about how having a social network does mediate some effects of incidences of depression, cardiovascular disease, stuff like that. So people.
That's crazy.
Having people in a support network does a lot.
Yeah, and a lot of times in a church setting, it's people who care about each other, too. Yeah. I mean, sometimes it can
sometimes
go sideways.
Sometimes not, but I feel like...
Most of the time, kind of the general go-to of like a church setting is people who care about each other together for a greater cause.
Yeah.
And that's so, yeah, that totally checks out for me.
And when I did my little cursory religion and mental health teeny tiny scan... Something that I did find was what you were talking about and how having a shared belief system and structure behind that is often helpful for people, too.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
something that you might have different lifestyles or backgrounds, but that shared purpose mm-hmm. can really bring a lot of different people together.
And so one of the things I think why I didn't dig into it a lot further was because I know that to religion, for I don't know if it's, I think for some people, thinking of their religious experience can be painful. Mm-hmm. And there are some stories we can all look back on where the impact of religious experiences in some people's life was not helpful to them yeah. and was often painful. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to take away from that. But I feel like the data in this case from Ireland and in the nurses study is saying that, you know, it's not saying that's not true, but it's saying by and large, if you attend church regularly and have a nice social network, it can be helpful in your life.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
I get that.
But one of the last things that the article mentioned and why they kind of got into this is because religion and attending religious services, I mean, this was a data set of people that were 50 and older. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, like, those are people that are more likely to go to church.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
younger generations are not going to church as regularly or with as much frequency.
Correct.
And so younger generations also say that they have higher incidence of depression and mental health, which is partially probably due to society recognizing it more, which isn't bad.
Yeah.
But I do think it's important to talk about, is there more happening too? Like, if as we move away from part of this, what are the other impacts on society?
You got to go to church, people.
Well, you know what I mean.
Or, I know what you mean.
Finding a way to have a supportive social network.
Yeah, I do feel that for a long time. Like, there's clubs and other things, and, you know, there's definitely the religious aspect of church. But it's a very easy go-to for getting involved in a community because they're usually already on a community, and it's super easy to say, hey, I want to do soup kitchen, or I want to play music, or I want to do whatever.
Something.
It's really easy.
Well, and then that makes me think of a newer study that I thought about doing, but it was just kind of one thing. But it was that younger folks now are reporting not, there are a higher incidence of people that are younger reporting not having any friends at all.
Oh, that's sad.
And it, like, that's kind of been happening a little bit, but now it's happening more with younger
people. And
they're
not going to church.
Well,
probably. It's Black Mirror, because on the outside, they have so many followers, but on the inside, they're so lonely.
I know.
Black Mirror.
Black Mirror. Well, I don't know.
The phone is the mirror, and we're stuck in it. That's the Twilight Zone. Wrong show, babe.
I don't remember the Black Mirror thing. Different.
Did this Black Mirror have a theme song? I think it's because it's like just different per show.
I don't know. Maybe?
I don't know. I guess we'll have to watch more.
Anywho, that is the gist from the Irish Times.
Well, thank you, Irish. Top of the morning to me, because that was great.
Thanks.
That was so dumb. I apologize. But Stephanie, what I don't apologize for is your outstanding research and conveying that information to me in a way that I understood.
Oh, I did have one more thing.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but this isn't enough where I wanted to do an article on it, but it was enough where I thought maybe at the end we could just sprinkle these through.
A little nug, huh?
So something that I missed doing was about once a year, we cover, like, fun dating trends or words.
Oh, like ghost. What are some of the top ones? Ghosting, phishing, LARPing.
So this is from August 2nd. But I feel like I looked at these and I was like, gosh, I feel like I might have looked at one of these. So, okay.
Evaporating.
Do you want to just, okay, tell me when to stop.
Stop. I said stop, 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 stop. Pocketing.
Pocketing. Do you want to read it or do you want me to?
You read it.
Pocketing. I have not proofread this ahead of time. This is straight from Maxim magazine.
Ooh, so these are the cool dating trends of 2019.
I feel like we might have already talked about this one. Maybe they just update it and add a term or two. Anyway, pocketing. This is when your partner doesn't want you around their family and other important people in your life. It means they just don't see a future with you. It's just downright rude and wasting your time, unless you too are just in it for a cheap thrill.
In the pocket.
I think we already talked
just
about that one.
Put it in a pocket. That's very good. Let me read one.
Okay.
Let's see what sounds interesting. Whoa.
Okay, hit me.
Paper clipping.
Oh, like Clippy?
Yes.
Whoa, shut up, really?
Here's the thing about Clippy. Can I tell you about Clippy? People always talk about Clippy, Clippy, Clippy. I never had any interactions with Clippy. Ever.
You're lucky. The little jerk would never go away. You could not click him away.
Maybe was I just so good at processing words on a
word
processor?
He wasn't in every version of Word, so maybe you never had a version of Word with Clippy.
I don't know. I just remember everyone being like, Clippy, Clippy, blah, blah, blah. He's the worst. And me being like, maybe I just know all of the keys well enough.
Maybe.
Anyway, paper clipping. Remember the now retired and pretty annoying Microsoft assistant Clippy? That would pop up out of nowhere when you really don't want him popping around your screen? Well, after Brooklyn-based artist Samantha Rothberg shared an illustration comparing Clippy to people who are, quote, damaged, flaky, and not particularly interested in you, the act of disappearing and then reappearing out of thin air 6 months later got its name.
Ouch.
Yep, that's Clippy.
Any other good ones?
Let's see.
What's pickle jarring? Is it appropriate?
Wait, what?
Go to the top. There was one that was like pickle jarring.
Pickle jarring. Cloaking. Trickly ghost.
The trickle ghost is interesting.
Trickle ghost. Let me see. Pickling. I'm interested in this. Pocketing, cloaking, flexing. Cookie jarring.
Cookie jarring.
Cookie jarring. I feel like they're just making up stuff now.
Well, yeah, it's funny, though.
Like, glitter beards are a thing.
I feel like ghosting has become a thing, though. I've heard it now in common, you know,
common
TV shows, whatever.
Parlance. Cookie jarring. This is when you keep someone around just to employ when you want a little treat. So this is booty calling.
Booty calling.
You don't see a future with them, and they aren't good for you, but they're a little fun snack when you're just in the mood for something sweet. That's already a thing.
Yeah.
U-turning. Everyone has had a moment in a relationship while simply seeing someone new when something unpleasant happens or you realize there's a massive red flag and you get the hell out of there real fast. That's a U-turn. Yeah.
They're trying too hard on some of these.
I think the paper clippy is good.
Paper clippy's funny.
Haunting is like, we've talked about that. Benching. It's like a back burner kind of person where you're like, breadcrumbing. This is the last one.
I feel like we've talked about breadcrumbing.
Oh, you string them along. That's just leading someone on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stashing.
We've talked about stashing.
All of these are basically the Destiny's Child song, Say My Name.
Say my name, this is basically, say my name, this whole... you pickle jarring baby, you clip monster and ghost rider something.
Ghost rider. We should write a blog post. Ghost ridering is the new ghosting. The new pickle jarring. Mm. I like it. Stephanie, thank you for bringing laughter, entertainment, and knowledge to my life. And I think this is a good episode. We have another one in the can, babe.
Well, what?
Thank you all for listening to us. We are Learn to Like Each Other, a weekly podcast about relationships. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you loved it, please give us a nice rating on the internet, wherever you listen to podcasts. Download, subscribe, and share with your friends. Hopefully, you will get a kick out of it. They will get a kick out of it. And we'll all get a kick out of it together. This has been Del and Stephanie here on Learn to Like Each Other. And Stephanie, anything else?
We hope that after listening to this podcast, you learn that you can like each other.
Very,
very much.
I'm ghost pickling.